That was a beautiful song, Micah. Thanks for being here again. It's glad to have you back. Welcome. This is PCC. We're worshiping Jesus Christ, living out Father God's love. We're transforming community by the Holy Spirit. I'm glad you're here. I'm sure the person to your right and to your left, glad you're here. Got a couple of announcements for us. One of them is this Wednesday, June 26, 10:30. There's the Senior Options, the Costa Mesa Historical Society. Make your reservations, call the front office. Lunch is provided. Just let them know you're coming and you'll have a lunch. Two, next Sunday. Next Sunday is a pretty big Sunday. It's the choir's last Sunday before the summer break. We're going to go out with them. With some pizzazz, and there's also we're going to celebrate our graduating and promoted. You don't graduate from eighth grade; you promote to the first to high school. That's what the proper language is. And then we got some graduates from high school, and we got some graduates from college, which we'll celebrate them. And then also we'll have this blood truck, this blood drive, blood mobile. In the Bloodmobile, cruising into summer. So if you're able and willing and got availability, give blood. Juliana, glad you're here. Not that she doesn't drive the Bloodmobile. Anyway, I just caught her. What else is there? Okay, we got all kinds of stuff. Our Saturday night experiment. We're going into a summer calendar, and this is our first summer doing this new door into the church. And so in July, we're going to kick it off there's a Comfort concert series. There's a couple Christian concerts that are close enough. So we won't be meeting on the Saturday nights in July, except, yeah, we'll be having a fire pit. We're going to kick off the summer concert series. There's a couple dates in July where we're going to go to Christian concerts. July 14th, 13th. It's the women's retreat day. Same time, like same date. We're going to meet at the fire pit right out in front of place where we rent, tower number 9, and burn some wood and have, you know, s'mores and that kind of jazz. Kick off the summer in a barbecue or beach fire pit. Awesome. My wife is saying, move along. And then in August, we're going to go away to the desert on a retreat. And then we're going to finish it up either the 10th or the 17th at the Macy's house and have our annual, I think it's our third or fourth annual pool party. That's what it's called when there's a pool and there's a party. Okay. Waking up slow. But grateful to be alive and grateful you're here. Let's stand up and greet each other in the name of the Lord. I just was advised that one of our congregants said at her last church, the last person to stand for the call to worship preaches the sermon. So the last person to stand up preaches the sermon.
Okay, so you're standing up.
Margot, Maisie, we'll give you a break. I wrote something, so I'll preach the sermon. And here's our call to worship. Kind of worked. Sometimes do you ever get the sense that that's all the church we need? Just being back in the same room. Everybody say happy birthday, Cynthia, on three. One, two, three. And we'll celebrate her a little more after the service in the fellowship hall, but she's on slide duty on her birthday. That's the picture of the church right there. Okay. Our call to worship this morning comes from Psalm 9, and I'll be reading the first two verses out of the King James Version. It says, I will praise thee, O Lord, with my whole heart. I will shew forth all thy marvelous works. I will be glad and rejoice in thee. I will sing praises to thy name, O thou most high God. Let's worship.
Mm-hmm. You can do anything you want. It's always bizarre to me. We stand for hymns. We sit for praise songs. I say do what is right for you, but I like to stand. confess, bowing here I find my rest, and without you I fall apart. You're the one that guides my heart. Lord, I need you.
As we stay in that place, I feel like the service has a little bit of redundancy right here. We've just been crying out how we need God. Paul writes in Romans chapter 6, verses 3 and 6, "Do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? Our old selves were crucified with him so that we might be slaves to sin no more. Trusting in God's grace, let us confess our sins. Pray with me. Almighty God, you love us. You treasure us. But we have not loved you. You call, but we have not listened. We walk away from neighbors in need, wrapped in our own concerns. We condone evil, prejudice, warfare, and greed. God of grace, help us to admit our shortcomings, our failures, so that as you come to us in mercy, we may repent, we may turn to you, and receive forgiveness. Through Jesus Christ, our Redeemer and our Lord, and all God's people said, Paul, I've never had my phone make that sound before. Huh. That's Apex. And somehow I set a timer. It's been going for 7 hours. Okay. It chimes. That's bizarre. Sorry, Google. Okay. Romans 6, Paul says in verses 8 and 11, he says, we believe that we will also live with him. Therefore, consider yourselves, brothers and sisters, dead to sin and alive to God in Christ Jesus. In the name of Jesus the Christ, we are forgiven. Amen. Let's stand and sing Gloria Patri.
Thank you.
we're in a series on the Mudhouse Sabbath. We're reading this book, or studying this book by Lauren Winter. It came out a few years back. And it's Lauren Winter grew up as a Jewish girl and then converted to Christianity and then became a professor eventually at a University of Virginia. And deep in her faith, she said, hey, I want to write a book about what we can learn from our Jewish brothers and sisters about spiritual disciplines. They've been practicing them much longer than us. And so we're going through it, Mudhouse Sabbath. And we're on the second chapter, which is kashrut, or fitting food, or kosher, eating kosher. And as an intro, I had to get my car smogged. And the smog place over in Huntington Beach that's closest to us is run by a Muslim man. And as I was waiting, and it was as COVID was, you know, things were back opening up, but he had still, there was this living room basically set outside of this garage, and I was sitting reading, and the person in front of me was obviously a devout Christian because he was an old friend of this shop operator, this mechanic shop. And they were adjusting and just talking. But then the owner, Muslim man, says, you know that my diet is more similar to your Jesus's than yours is. And I thought, checkmate, my friend. Like, I just felt, I hadn't thought about what I was putting in my body in quite some time. And from that place, I re-looked at this chapter in preparations. And the call this morning is a healthy one. Let's, I think that's enough intro. Let's read the scripture. And originally I had started in verse 3, but as I studied, I added the first couple verses, and you'll see why in a second. You are the children of the Lord your God. Do not cut yourselves or shave the front of your heads for the dead, for you are a people holy to your God. Out of all the peoples on the face of the earth, the Lord has chosen you to be his treasured possessions. Do not eat any detestable thing. These are the animals you may eat: the ox, the sheep, the goat, the deer, the gazelle, the roe deer, the wild goat, the ibex, the antelope, and the mountain sheep. You may eat any animal that has a divided hoof and that chews the cud. However, of those that chew the cud or that have divided hoof, you may not eat the camel, the rabbit, or the hyrax. Although they chew the cud, they do not have a divided hoof. They're ceremonially unclean for you. The pig is also unclean. Also, although it has a divided hoof, it does not chew the cud. You are not to eat meat or touch their carcasses. Or of all the creatures living in the water, you may eat any that has fins and scales, but anything that does not have fins and scales, you may not eat. For you, it is unclean. You may eat any clean bird, but these you may not eat. The eagle, the vulture, the black vulture, the red kite, the black kite, any kind of falcon, any kind of raven, the horned owl, the screech owl, the gull, any kind of hawk, the little owl, the great owl, the white owl, the desert owl, the osprey, and the cormorant, the stork, any kind of heron, the hoopoe, and the bat. All flying insects are unclean to you. Do not eat them. But any winged creature that is clean you may eat. Do you not eat anything you find already dead. You may give it to the foreigner residing in any of your towns, and you may eat it, or you may sell it to any other foreigner. But you are a holy people. You are a people holy to the Lord your God. Do not cook a young goat in its mother's milk. This is the word of the Lord. Whew. Two basic rules, and I get this from this text, and I also get it from the book we're reading, Mudhouse Sabbath. Two basic rules to eating kashrut, fitting food. Some foods are forbidden. There's a list of foods, and the text I just read, you just don't eat them. And the second basic rule is dairy products and meat products may not be eaten at the same time. Those are tough rules to live by, right? And then there's additional specifics, you know, no blood in the animal, and in other texts mentioned in the chapter, you should eat from a kosher deli, and God gives instructions in his word about how animals are to be eaten or to experience the least amount of pain as possible. And there's obvious reasons for all of these. There's obvious reasons for eating kosher, especially back then, right? To avoid disease, to avoid, getting sick a lot. But why does God lay out these rules for his people? Why does he call them to eat fitting foods? When you look at that verse 2, of which I just read, let's look at it again. For you are a people holy to the Lord your God. To set the Jews apart, like we were talking about last week. The Sabbath, the primary reason, one of the primary reasons, was to be set apart as a people group amongst a culture that's going racing. I was talking to Danny, and I said, what was your favorite part of going over to Norway? And he said, there's just this peace. There's this slowness in their culture. And that's one of the roots of the Sabbath, as he calls the people of God, the Hebrew nation, the Jewish people, to take rest. It's to set them apart. We don't march by the drum of everybody win, 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 win. And in here, eating kosher food, we don't just eat everything we're handed. We're a separated people. We're different. What's the other reason? Out of all the peoples on the face of the earth, the Lord has chosen, has picked you to be his treasured possession. The heart behind kosher eating is that God said, I want you on my team. I want you on my people group, and I want you to experience life as that. Who in here are parents? Who in here have made choices for their children out of loving them to save them from eating garbage? Right? No, you don't eat mud. You know, when they're little, you hand them a sandwich, right? In the same way, God is picking out this people group and saying, you're my people. I want you to eat the best. Lauren points out in her book that we as followers of Jesus are absolutely and totally free. Right? Jesus heals on the Sabbath and teaches that man is not made for the Sabbath, but the Sabbath for man. Right? And then Peter has that dream in Acts chapter 10, I think that is. I wrote it down. Yeah. Acts chapter 10, he has that dream where God basically says, you can eat anything. The new covenant breaks it. It's a new game. Paul, when talking about it, he says, you know, whatever's beneficial, everything is permissible, but not everything is beneficial. Watch what you're eating, because the people that are watching you eat things, right? And in this chapter, I said last week that it's a little dated because the culture has kind of taken that spa idea from the Jewish idea of Sabbath and kind of run with it, except they've made the individual the key part of it and not God. In the same way, I think it's even happened more in this area, right? Who in here has had a doctor say, you need to stop eating, fill in the blank? The doctors tell us what is good, right? The doctors say, hey, eat this, eat a whole plate. I remember Jim Clark coming to Daytimers back when he was living in the area. And I remember he had just gone to the doctor, and the doctor had told him, you need to just fill a plate with lettuce and all this. And he was so sad. I remember the sadness in his eyes. But the doctors are saying this because they know your bodies, right? And they're saying, this is what's good for your body. You need to eat in such a way. There's also this big trend amongst culture to eat according to what's ripe, right? According to the calendar, according to because they're trying to save the environment. Numerous people have told me they've stopped eating meat because if this world had less cows on it, we'd better be in a better place. And so they're eating vegetables and all these things because they're trying to save the ozone layer. And Lloyd last week, he handed me this slip of paper and he said, take a look into this one. And it's Tikkun Olam. And it's this Jewish understanding of saving the world, being good stewards of the earth. Does that sound familiar, right? Our culture's hijacking all these things because they're realizing we're in a big mess. And this, thank you, Lloyd, and it's linked to all of them. And it proves once again, God knows best, right? Amen? He said this from the get-go. He said, you're my people. Be good stewards of the earth. Be good stewards of yourselves. Be good stewards of your neighbors. Love one another. Love yourself correctly. And do it by resting on the Sabbath and watching what you eat. I think we are totally off the hook because we can eat anything and it doesn't. Yeah, we're just in grace and mercy. But it's helpful to think about the truth that Jesus was on this earth as a human being and ate kosher for 33 years. Our hero, we are mini Jesus Christ. That's what Christian means. We are mini Jesus Christ. our big guy, our Jesus the Christ, ate kosher. And so I'm not, and Lauren lets us off the hook, and I'm not here keeping us on the hook because I'm proposing the same thing Lauren's proposing. And that is pay attention to what you're eating, not only for the world, not only for your doctor, but for God. But for God. And I propose and I invite us all, this is a quote from Lauren Winter's book, if you keep kosher, the protagonist of your meal is not you, it is God. Do you follow that? English majors totally did. The protagonist of your meals is not you, it's God. In another place, she quotes a woman and says, she says, and it's a longer quote, and Malia said, don't read any longer quotes. Because last week I was reading too many long quotes, but I agree with you, Malia. Thank you very much. She says, we have to eat anyway, right? Why not make the times we eat, why don't we sanctify them? Why don't we make them sacraments, holy moments, where we meet with our Maker? We meet with the God who treasures us. Right? Often, and then I also learned, just gleaned from, this is just a freebie off the side. Adam and Eve in the garden. Original sin is around food. Right? I just never thought of that. And I'm inviting us this morning to remember that. And that levels the playing field. Like in my prayer confession, every single one of us, every single one of us, Jew, Gentile, all of us, have been put in the place we are because of our diet. Interesting. Tons of applications, and they're fun. I think they're really fun. That's one of my favorite parts of this chapter, is she mentions she has friends that fast as part of just recalibrating meeting with God and talking about food with God. Another one is she recommends this book, and she not only recommends this book, she recommends the idea of this book. It's the chef. He's an Anglican, I believe, and it came out in the 60s or 70s, and it's called The Supper of the Lamb. And in this book, he invites the reader to take an hour cutting an onion. And Lauren's like, what, an hour cutting an onion? But then she started to follow his advice, and she says an hour wasn't long enough. Just studying the intricacies of this beautiful... Have you ever just studied the fruit right before you eat it? How many seeds are on a strawberry? Right? And it's an invitation to meet with the Creator. She says, learn from the kosher butcher to respect the life that was given so that you could live longer. Anybody watching survival shows? The culture has totally hijacked this idea. Because if you watch the survival shows, all the survivalists know this. If you watch it, like Surviving Alaska, there's a couple people that every time they kill an animal, they cry. Because they're out there and this animal is dying so they can win $1 million. You know? It comes down to that. But they steal that from God. They steal that from kosher. They steal that from us. She says, eat seasonally. That saves the world, because a lot of people are saying, but not only do it for the world, but do it for God. After reading the chapter, it makes me never want to eat a banana again. Because she said, yeah, just think about how far that banana came so that we could have it. Right? We live in California. Pretty much everything else, you could go pick it out right out there. You know, we can grow. Maybe I should cut bananas out. That's not a choice for you. I'm just thinking out loud. Maybe J-Dog should stop eating bananas, because it's ripping a big old hole in the ozone, and it's also, it's taking, it's distracting a little bit from my life, putting my Creator first. I think it all circles back to that second verse. I'll be honest with you. As a pastor, sometimes it's tedious saying the same message over and over. But not today. Not today. Because looking at the word, and looking at this chapter, drilling down into this text, I just kept hearing over and over, Jason, you're treasured. I want to pass that on to you. With each bite, hear the words of God saying, I treasure you. There's no downside. There's no downside to this. You start eating and you start just noticing more what you're putting in your body. I think there's only upsides. Because you start to realize God made that. That's beautiful. That tastes delicious. What's the best thing you've eaten lately? Raise your hands. An apple.
Pineapple.
A pineapple. No, no, it's not.
Grapes.
Oranges. Yeah, like the best bite you've had lately. You had an apricot? Where'd you get it? At Mother's.
Bananas.
I like a good banana. I tell you, sometimes. I'm trying to think about the last. I think the last thing is probably something you made me, and it was something you put together. What was the last thing I said? That was the best thing I've ever eaten. Actually, it was a reap. No, no, I don't say it about everything. Now, there's a couple of things. She drops the ball every once in a while. She can't really bake. Just I'll confess her sin. Okay. She actually repurposed a breakfast burrito, half a breakfast burrito from this place right here, and she pizzazzed it up. And I thought that was the best thing I've eaten in a while. And just thinking about that drew me to worship, and it draws me even right now to worship. Because it was a good burrito, but it got better. It was redeemed. It was reclaimed. Right? There's a whole nother sermon right here. Mike, you ready for another one? He says, absolutely not. I need to celebrate my wife's birthday. Good man. Let me close this in a word of prayer. And the next three meals, at some moment in your meal, it can be out, it can be at your house, pause. Pause about where that banana came from. That person that picked it. That truck that drove it across something. That plane. Think about the life or lives that were taken, that were given, so that you could enjoy that meal. Pause and notice. That's the simplest sermon application I've ever given, but I think it's what this text is all about. And it's all about hovering around that idea, as we eat, meet with the maker of all the food, of all the goodness, of all the nourishment, of all the life. And notice. Notice. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, precious Lord Jesus, powerful Spirit, thank you for setting us free from following kosher rules. But as we learn from our brothers and sisters of the Jewish faith, may we link with them and be reminded, you treasure us. You set us apart. You nourish us. You sustain us. And we are grateful. And all God's people said, let's stand. Let's stand and sing, Children of the Heavenly Father. As we continue in worship, let's give back to God, the God that treasures us, just a portion of our treasures, our earthly treasures, our monetary treasures. This morning's tithes, offerings, and gifts are now received.
In our bulletin, you'll see prayer points. And I wanted to highlight these prayer points during our time of prayer today. The wildfires, the heat, and the storms that cause death and destruction. We want to pray for all those grieving. We want to pray for the first responders who fight these tough disasters. Now we want to pray for the Thanksgiving for little Theo, who's able to come home, and continue to pray for his parents. And we lift up Elsie, asking God for continued healing and renewing of her strength. And we pray for health problems for Natalie, Terry, Patty, Dick, Dusty, Mary, Keith, and Sandy. And we pray for dear Buzz following cataract surgery, and those on hospice care. Starlet, Gwen, Joan, Jane, Sister Pam, and others that we know. And we continue to lift up those who come to our door for assistance. And so we pray for Thanksgiving for everyone that comes in need. Let's pray. Lord, we come here today in fellowship with one another, setting aside this time solely for you. And when we come together, we want to offer you praise and worship, to hear you speak to us, and to leave here shaped a little bit more into the likeness of Jesus Christ. So we come today humbly and quietly before you. God, we thank you for those times this week where we've smiled and laughed, those times of friendships enjoyed, of meals shared, those times when we appreciated the beauty of nature, when we felt a peace in our hearts, when we paused to be grateful for the life you have given us. And for all these and so much more, we know that we are truly blessed. For all the birthdays and anniversaries, for Philip's birthday this past Friday, and for Cynthia today, and next Friday, Arfon's. We think of Terry and Scotty's 39 years of marriage. And lastly, Kim and Dan's first anniversary. God, thank you that every week you hear our prayers for these people, and we know you're caring for every one of us. Help us to show others the way to you through our programs, through our ministries, and most of all through our life. Lord, for those who are lonely, misguided, or just in need of your presence, we ask that you would touch them with your healing, with your guidance, and with your peace. And Lord, for the confidence, joy, and hope we have because we walk daily with you, we give you thanks. And now we pray the prayer you taught your disciples to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Thine is the kingdom, power, and the glory forever. Amen. Amen. Let's stand now and sing our final hymn.
Thank you.
Hopefully I'll see you next week where we'll celebrate our graduates and our... And it's 4th of July also, but I was looking for that word, the promotion. Promotion of my 8th graders. And then also choir will sing for the last time for the before the summer break. Thanks for coming this morning. And hope you feel treasured by God. And I want to leave you with this benediction. May God's face shine upon you. May the power and the presence of the Holy Spirit guard and keep you. May the peace of Christ, the peace that transcends all earthly understanding, guard your heart and your mind today, tomorrow, forevermore. Let it be so. Amen.